Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, I'm joined in the studio by a local author, Ramal Toon, who has a new book out called Love is an Inside Job. And Mr. Toon, the title is what drew me into your book. Can you just share, what does that title mean to you?
Yeah, for me, first, thank you for having me on the show, Kiplin. I really appreciate it. To answer your question, for me, Love is an Inside Job is really about doing the inner work of healing the parts of you that may have created your life-limiting beliefs and dealing with the parts of your story that no longer serve you well.
So one of the things, too, that made me so interested in this book is that there is such a stigma around mental health. And, you know, they say it's in the African-American community. They say it's in men. They say it's in the faith community. But to me, it's a human thing. It's everywhere. You know, people, you have something that hurts you and you just kind of keep going because it's not hurting bad enough to really get your attention. You know, it has to be that boulder to finally say, oh, maybe I need to go check on this. And mental health is one of those things that you don't even see. So you might not even realize what's going on the inside. And you have taken an approach that allows you to use your faith and in honor of your faith to make yourself a better person.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not just the African-American culture. There are many communities and cultures that have stigmas around mental health that were somehow created by society that lead people to think that it's a sign of weakness, a sign that you're not strong enough, you're not man enough to carry it. And we never really question these assumptions and stigmas to ask ourselves, one, where do they come from? Two, why do I even have to accept them as true if they are not helpful to me becoming the best version of myself that I can possibly become in my lifetime? And as a man in dealing with mental health and the stigmas associated with it, I had to realize that a lot of what I was taught in regards to what it means to be a man wasn't serving me well as I was living out my life. And so I had to look back and question some of these beliefs and ways of being that were actually keeping me from being my truest self and living into my purpose and having deeper meaning in life. I agree with you when it comes to our pain. As you said, sometimes we don't deal with things because they don't hurt enough. I think in some ways, when it comes to mental health, we're conditioned to either suppress it or repress it, even no matter how much it hurts. A friend of mine who's a therapist once said, you know, it's like a kid who's playing on a playground and gets a splinter in his finger. And he runs over to his mom and he says, Mom, I have a splinter and it hurts. And she says, come here and let me take it out. And he says, no, it's going to hurt. In other words, she said, we have this idea that I'd rather stick with the pain that I know than deal with the pain that I don't know, even if on the other side of it, there's healing. We don't always like to deal with the broken parts of our stories that create our doubts, anxieties, fears, those things that were said or even not said when we needed a positive word or those things that were done. We rather just put them away because they hurt. But the reality is if we confront them and deal with those places of brokenness, it will hurt, but it will hurt for the last time. And on the other side of that pain, through talking about it with a therapist or someone who really knows how to hold your story with compassion and care, on the other side of it is healing.
I think that is such a wonderful analogy. I never heard that before, but it might hurt in the immediate. But afterwards, you'll be free of that challenge and maybe can face, you know, other smaller challenges as you continue to grow.
Yeah, we typically find that the boogeyman on the side of that darkness, that place that we don't want to go into, is smaller than we thought it was when we start to deal with those parts of our stories that aren't serving us well. And that's a big part of why I wrote Love is an Inside Job, is to invite people into this conversation and this journey of healing our stories through therapy and faith so that you can truly become the best version of of yourself that you can possibly become in your lifetime. And in doing that work through therapy and faith, tapping into the best parts of you and learning to love and honor all of your story and all of your truth.
So you mentioned about the one of the reasons that you started thinking about this was the narrow definitions of manhood that exists universally in a lot of cultures, but specifically in the African-American culture, there it's a very narrow definition that almost imprisons men in this only one way to be a man.
Yeah.
How do we start to break that up? And how do we let men understand that that narrow definition is also a prison? It's confining to who you might actually be.
I think what you're doing now by having these conversations on your show to talk about it and invite people into the conversation is where it starts when we begin to shift the narrative around what it means to be a man and why therapy is helpful is the beginning of changing the narrative. You know, as a young African American male growing up in inner city, I was taught primarily how to be a warrior, how to fight, how to be strong, how to carry the struggle. And I did that without questioning it. I just accepted it as true and lived that way. But it wasn't serving me well. It created limitations. You know, there's no contradiction in being a warrior and also having empathy and having compassion and love. The thing is, you have to know when to lay down your armor and where it's safe to lay down your armor and create those safe spaces with friends and family and the people who really love you. I was taught always to fight, but the reality in my life is that much of what I've desired and hoped for in life was never really things that I had to fight for. What I truly desired was actually on the other side of surrender and letting go and being receptive to what I really wanted, rather than fighting, because fighting oftentimes is resistance to letting in those things that you truly desire in life. And specifically when it comes to love, we push it away. We resist it. We're warriors and our armor is on. When to really embrace love and let someone even love you in the place of your wounds, that requires surrender and laying down your armor.
And a lot of trust.
Yeah. And trust is earned. But the more you learn to trust yourself and honor your own story, the more courage you have to step out and allow other people into that space.
And, you know, those definitions, human nature is to nurture. Humans are nurturers. I don't think that's a female thing or a male thing, because when you have young humans, someone has to nurture them. And that's generally shared. But we often forget with little boys, you know, man up, you know, suck it up, you're a man, don't cry. And these are very human things that we are telling young men in our communities that they can't do.
Yeah. And, you know, that was a part of my journey, you know, with my uncles and even with my grandfather. I never really saw affection, you know, hugs and love and words of affirmation were not really things that my family did. You know, evidence of love for my grandparents was like, look, you get to live here and eat our food. That's what love looks like over here. But it wasn't, you know, here's what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship. Here's what it looks like to be in a loving marriage and how to treat people well and have that modeled in a healthy way. And so in my own journey, I've had to redefine those things for myself and define manhood on my own terms. Because my belief is that if a man is supposed to be strong and courageous and do what he's supposed to do in life, then aren't I man enough when I do the work of going to therapy, because that's going to help me be the type of man that I desire to be? So if a man is supposed to make his own decisions, can't I make a decision to go to therapy if it's going to help me be a better man? And so it really required being courageous enough and man enough, if you will, to do what I needed to do in order to help myself heal and really live the life that I desire for myself.
So Wednesday of this week, October 10th, is World Mental Health Day. And one of the reports that came out is that we are facing a public health crisis due to loneliness. You know, more and more people live alone. There are more and more single people. And I keep thinking about that because I know men who are living alone. And honest and truthfully, it's dangerous for humans to live alone and not have that communal support system. But sometimes I think it's harder for men to make friends. And, you know, this doesn't just impact men. This is impacting the whole culture as we become more and more these single individuals without families. But, you know, I feel like saying everybody wants a family. Everybody wants a friend. What do we need to do culturally to invite that type of support into, you know, our lives of the lonely people, you know, that we pass every day?
Yeah, I think, you know, I will say, you know, brothers, we have our friends, you know, we talk, we get together, but we still, even in those environments, oftentimes wear masks and we pretend and have personas so that our friends see us a certain way. We don't expose to them our vulnerabilities, our wounds when we're anxious or afraid. Healthy male relationships do that. I now have what I call my fave five. These are my five friends who I can go to with anything, and they will hear me without judgment, without ridicule, and oftentimes just listen rather than give advice. And there are times when they offer their wisdom. I think more men desire that. And it requires that we take the initiative to, you know, identify those brothers who have the character that we desire to have in our own lives and who are the kind of men we believe we can trust with our stories. So that also requires, you know, being courageous enough to stop pretending and wearing the persona and always holding up the armor and looking at who are the people in my life. Someone once said, you know, the five people closest to you will tell you a lot about yourself. In other words, when you look at their character, their values, and their behavior, it'll also tell you something about you. And in order to shift the paradigm, we have to align ourselves with like-minded individuals who are living into the type of character and values we desire for ourselves. When it comes to our emotional health as men, I think it's really important that we come to this understanding that, you know, I was just listening to a podcast the other day, and, you know, some sisters were saying, I'm tired of, you know, people thinking I have to fix a man. And I was like, you know, you're right. You don't. It is not a man's responsibility to fix a woman, nor a woman's responsibility to fix a man. But here's the thing I learned in therapy. It's that your wounded places, when you're in a loving relationship with someone, your wounded places are those parts of you that need love the most. So if anything, as a man who has wounded places, it's your responsibility and your healing to let the people who love you love those wounded places. As a woman, it's the same thing. When you have wounded places, to let the person who loves you love your wounded places, because those are the parts of you that need it the most.
I am just blown away by you saying when I was in therapy, because, you know, a lot of people won't even admit that they go to therapy. And I'm always telling people, you need to go to therapy. The first opportunity I got to go to therapy, I was 18, a college freshman, you know, undecided major. And it was like, you need to go talk to someone. I went to therapy. I got a lot out of it. I loved it. And in my life, as I meet certain challenges, getting divorced, I went to therapy. I didn't go to therapy with my husband. I went to therapy for myself. Changing careers, I went to therapy. I wanted to do something different. I wasn't even sure how to approach it. But I don't have conversations with people where they admit, I went to therapy.
Kipling, you're in the book now. You know, love is an inside job. I talk about divorce and relationships that I had been in that didn't work. And one of the things my therapist said, and by the way, I still go to therapy. In fact, my therapist and I travel doing workshops together. We'll be in New York in just a few weeks. But one of the things he said was, when it came to my broken relationships and even divorce, he said, you've been making decisions based on your fractures and not your future. He said, you've been looking for the woman in your life to be your mom and not your mate. But your mom was never meant to be your mate, and your mate was never meant to be your mom. And so in looking at my story, I was in relationships making decisions based on my broken places and not who I was truly meant to be in the world. And so I had to deal with those parts of me and work on myself so that I could be fully available to someone else. As one of my pastor friends says, you know, one is already a whole number. So in order to be in a healthy relationship, you have to show up on a journey of wholeness yourself.
That is so amazing. For our listeners who may be interested in finding out about this thing called therapy or finding out why love is actually an inside job, what do you want them to know about getting this book and using it?
You know, for your listeners, I would say that one, they can, Love is an Inside Job is available on all major bookselling platforms, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and all its forms except for Audible. But you can get the download and the hard copy on any bookselling platform. We also have a nonprofit that I started several years ago called Clear Story. The website is clearstoryworks.org, and that's C-L-E-R-E. clearstoryworks.org. You can also learn about the work that I'm doing with the workshops and speaking engagements through my website, which is romaltune.com, which is R-O-M-A-L-T-U-N-E.com.
Ramal, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and coming to share this information with our listeners. I hope I have some more conversations with people who say, you know, I was talking with my therapist. I love it. And I thank you for being a new representation of what it means to be a man in our culture.
Well, thank you so much for having me on and really addressing this important topic.